Question is, what about natural disasters? What about things like the flood in Texas caused by Hurricane Harvey? I'll tell you this, my answer today might be different than my answer last year. This is Martin Zender, you're at the Revelation series. God is now conciliated to the world, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And even when the tribulation begins in earnest, God is still going to be conciliated to the world. But he puts another layer of something between the conciliation and him. I like to call it a new way to get people's attention. Now he uses his ambassadors, us, to get people's attention. But people don't spend a lot of time paying attention to us, even though our words are of grace, are of peace, are of love, founded upon the crucifixion of Jesus Christ for the sins of the world. So the world is asleep, but God does nudge people even to hear us today, but it's very, very few. Now, God has a new technique, and it's called Plague of Locusts. It's called Hide the Sun. We're going to play a little game now called Hide the Sun. We're going to play a little game called Scorch the People. We're going to call a little game called 5 Months of Locusts. We're going to play a little game called 90-Pound Hailstones. These things will get people's attention in a way that our testimony simply won't. You have to be called by God now to understand it. It's really still in many ways a secret administration, but when God begins to pour wrath out from heaven, I need you to remember this. It's purposeful, and it's a new way for the earth to realize that there is a God, and he is a very serious God, and you see, it will be seen that this God is a God of love. How can, I know it's difficult to see how that could be when 90-pound hailstones are falling on your head. These things, the world is so calloused, so shut down, so offended by any mention of God, that these things are just waking people up. It's just a wake-up call. Yes, a 90-pound hailstone is a wake-up call. And it causes a person to like shake their head like one of those cartoon characters who gets hit with an anvil, say Wile E. Coyote, who gets hit on the head by his own anvil from the Acme Anvil Company. And he just kind of shakes his head, and he's now awake. He's not really offended. He's just awake, and he's going to come up with plan B. So people are going to wake up through these trials. Now, you see, I never looked at natural disasters such as hurricanes or earthquakes or tsunamis as a message from God to the people being affected by the natural disaster that they should repent. Now, it was this way back before this administration of grace began. For instance, in the days of Nineveh, when Jonah preached to Nineveh, I didn't realize this. I learned this recently, that there was a great eclipse that year, and that there was also a plague or a famine or a war. There were things going on in Nineveh that were nudging the Ninevites toward rethinking their position. And along came Jonah, who actually hated the people he was ministering to, hated the people he was evangelizing. And he read his message on a 3x5 index card, 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. And the entire city, 20,000 people, repented at the heralding of Jonah. But there were other things related to it. That's back in the day. God did use many things to get people's attention back then. But now, we are in a day of faith. We are in a unique day that has been ongoing now since Paul announced this evangel, beginning in Acts chapter 9, approximately the year 36 AD, years from Adam, that would be, I can't think of it right now, but we're in a completely unique era where Paul is weaning us off manifestations, and where we announce the conciliation of God. So God has been really quiet. Have you noticed that? God hasn't said much in 2,000 years. He speaks now. This seems fantastic to you, but I'm telling you, this is our, relatively speaking, responsibility. This is our, it's a figure of speech here, burden, because it's not a burden, to announce the conciliation. This is why Christianity's message is so off today, because they are not announcing that God is at peace with all humanity. They are announcing that God could be at peace with you if the price is right, and they hold Christ out as a carrot, and then they have a stick in the other hand, and they're beating you with their rules, their regulations, their sinner's prayer, so that they can have power over you, and that you will come to them to continue to find out what you can continue to do to keep that Jesus Christ happy. But our message is that Jesus Christ is happy. Now, all bets are off when the tribulation starts, because now the window that I've been telling you this grace of God is closes, and now God uses different methods. Here's the question, the pressing question today that even some in the body of Christ are discussing, and I myself am not sure about this, is this, and I'll be getting into more details about this, looking at every aspect of it. We're in a unique time in history where there's another transfer, and this grace of God that you have known, that I have known, nothing else but the grace of God, is going ongoing since the days of Paul. This is coming to an end, and there will be a last member of the body of Christ, and then God is going to pick up again with Israel. Israel has been, as I like to say, on hold. The nation Israel has been set in temporary abeyance while God has been calling out a new people, a different people from among the nations who are non-Israelites. This is called the time of the nations. Now, I want to read to you again the passage from Paul in Romans 11:25, because this really introduces the question, is God going to suddenly, like a black and white line in the sand, go from the body of Christ, from tending to the body of Christ, is he going to snatch away the body of Christ and then almost violently and instantly pick up with Israel? Or is God picking up with Israel going to overlap somewhat with the exit of the body of Christ? Now, the exit of the body of Christ is going to be instantaneous, but leading up to it, will we be prepared in even newer ways? Will we see some of these events happening in Israel, happening to the earth, that will make us realize even more that our redemption draws nigh, and that we are days, weeks, or possibly days away from our being transferred from mortality to immortality? This is Romans chapter 11, verse 25. I remind you that Romans 9, 10, and 11 concern Israel. But Paul does make an oblique reference here to the body of Christ in 11:25. He says this, "For I am not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret, brethren." And this is Paul revealing a secret, a necessary revelation concerning why God had appeared to forsake Israel and has gone after people of non-Abrahamic stock. It was a new thing, giving them a completely different message of grace apart from law, apart from baptism, so on and so forth. "I'm not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret, lest you may be passing for prudent among yourselves." Don't get proud. Don't get all smug that you're numero uno now and God has finished with Israel. No, that callousness in part on Israel has come until the complement of the nations may be entering, and thus all Israel shall be saved according as it is written. So we know that God has himself made Israel hard. Callousness in part on Israel has come. The remnant is exempt from the callousness until the complement of the nations may be entering. This language is difficult to interpret because of the timing of the thing. Will it be an instantaneous? I hope this is the case. Will it be an instantaneous, God snatched away the body of Christ and boom, picks up with Israel? Or will he gradually pick up with Israel? Back to the judgments. I'm of the disposition that it's more of an overlap, and that now it could be that, and I'm thinking of the eclipse in particular, and this leads me to speak on the flood associated with the hurricane and any other natural disasters we might see from this time forward, and especially from September 23rd forward, should we still be here on September 24th? I think, as I like to say, all bets are off. In other words, we're entering into a unique period in Aeonian history where we have, it's not unique that there will be a transfer of eons, because eons have transferred before. Eon 1 turned into Eon 2 at the disruption of the world. Eon 2 turned into Eon 3 when Noah came off the ark. Eon 3 is going to turn into Eon 4 when Jesus Christ returns. But we are in the unique position in history in that we are going from three evil eons into two good eons. That's a crisis never before been passed through. And the earth is going to pass through birth pangs. It's never before passed through. Times such as have never come upon the earth since there has been an earth. So that's why we're in a unique position. We're about to go through this veil, not only of an eon into a new eon, but into from an evil eons into good eons. So all bets are off. And so now I think we're going to see natural disasters that specifically are for wake-up calls, that are specifically part of Jesus Christ's great announcement, you know, his prophecy in Matthew 24, I believe it is, about signs of the end times, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places. I think the earthquakes before were just earthquakes. But now all bets are off, especially after September 23rd. But I think we're so close leading up to it that I do now see. It might even have been starting with the great eclipse of 2017. God using natural things to wake up the world as we are being phased out. We're not being phased out in truth. We're not being phased out in our encouragement of one another, but we're being phased out and off of the world scene of this present cosmos, this present arrangement. It's antagonistic to God. It's been antagonistic to our message for 2,000 years wholesale, except for the very few who have heard our message. So we're being withdrawn. We're ambassadors of peace. We will be withdrawn before an announcement of war. Here's another interesting point. When a nation does declare war on another nation, it withdraws its ambassadors. I told you this before. This is why we're not appointed to wrath. But it withdraws its ambassadors ahead of the offensive strike. And so wouldn't that suggest a overlap period? Wouldn't that suggest that as tensions escalate, then the ambassadors are withdrawn in anticipation of all-out war? God is now in anticipation of all-out war, the eclipse, the sign of September 23rd, weather patterns, earthquakes. We're going to see more earthquakes. We're on the brink of a major earthquake. And now it's all about preparations for the tribulation. Now the earth begins her labor pains. A woman in labor, great example. It comes in stages, doesn't it? And I think here it is. I think here's the answer. Now that I'm talking to you, hearing myself talk, a woman in labor, Jesus says, it's a new birth. Israel is experiencing a new birth, and the earth along with it. The earth is regenerated, not remade. It's regenerated just like Israel is regenerated. Israel's not remade. We're remade. We're the new creation. We're the ones who no longer consider ourselves according to the flesh, or no longer consider Jesus Christ according to the flesh. That's a radical. That's a new creation. Israel's being reborn. The earth is being reborn. And the analogy is birth pangs. You're pregnant for 9 months. And speaking of this constellation, Jupiter has been in the womb of Virgo for 9 months. And so the birth doesn't come at once. It's not like you're inseminated and then you give birth. No, there's a transition period. There's incubation time where the woman is prepared. Her body, her mind, her soul, her spirit are being prepared for this trauma of pushing another human being out of her body. Okay, now, that comes in different phases. You have the early phase where women are sick and they're throwing up. Then there's this peaceful phase where they get all lovey-dovey. And then there's, oh, crap, you know, the water breaks. There's the first pang, like, this is it. There's the time of no return, and labor begins. But even labor comes in stages. A woman's birth pangs are measured. Her contractions are measured. So many minutes apart, 10 minutes apart, 5 minutes apart, 3 minutes apart, 1 minute apart, boom, boom, boom. Then they start coming like crazy. That means the baby's coming. Get this woman out of the hospital quick into a home where the midwife can do a peaceful job in bringing the newborn into the world. If that's the analogy, I don't think it's a stretch to say that Jesus said pangs. I think Jesus himself used the word pangs. These are the beginnings. These things, when you see these things, these are the beginnings of trial, but the end is not yet. These are the beginnings, and the end is not yet. So if the end is not yet, and if the end marks the beginning of the coming of Israel, then we will be around for parts of the end. And there will be an overlap. All this to say that the judgment, that the hurricane, Hurricane Harvey and other hurricanes, somebody tells me there's something brewing in the Atlantic right now. I ain't scared of it. I'm not scared of any weather. I respect it, but we're protected. You know, we're protected by Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean we won't die. It just means that if we die, God wants us to. I want you to die. Okay. But you need to look at any sort of scary thing. And I do pray for people who are under trial, people who are suffering this water, anybody whose town is decimated by a hurricane or a tornado or an earthquake or any kind of plague, any kind of virus or disease. I feel for humanity, honestly, and it's terrible, but you and I need to look at these things now in a different way. Now, all bets are off. We are now entering a time unique in Aeonian history. And I'm not talking about the passage, the curtain, iron curtain between eons 3 and 4. That's not even an iron curtain. That's more like a velvet curtain. No, burlap. Call it burlap velvet. Not appropriate. The iron curtain is a gigantic change from three evil eons to the two blessed eons. I say that the upcoming two eons are blessed because of the phrase, to God be the glory for the eons of the eons. This is a specific Greek phrase. I've talked to you about this before. King James and other common English versions translate this unique Greek phrase, this unique Greek order of words. They translate it forever and ever. They ignore the plural for the eons of the eons. They ignore the genitive case of the. They add the connective kai, K-A-I, which is and, which is not in the text, forever and ever. So it's a mess. They've completely obscured the truth of God's unique revelation. Of course, there are many different phrases. There's the eon of the eon. There's the eon of the eons. There's the eons of the eons, all discernible in a good translation. The Concordant version will give you those great distinctions of what God is talking about when he says eon of the eon. What's he talking about? I can tell you what he's talking about. I'm not going to do it now for the sake of time and for the sake of my main point, but I will do it in Indianapolis at the conference. Come to the conference. You'll hear all about it. He has another phrase called the eon of the eons. And there's the eons of the eons. These are two eons, plural, eons of the eons that are really superior, and that God is going to get glory for the eons of the eons. He gets minimum glory now, really. The minimum glory. He gets less than he deserves, obviously. But starting with eon 4, starting with the kingdom, finally, God is going to get praise on earth. The only time this has happened in any... No, I can't even say this. I was going to say in the Garden of Eden, but forget it. Adam was innocent. Adam didn't praise God. He didn't thank God. He didn't glorify God. He had no contrast. Eden introduces for us contrast. Now Adam has a distinction between, now I see the presence of God, the absence of God. Deathlessness, death. Good feelings, bad feelings. Sickness, health. Till death do us part. And so now he knows the distinction, and now we begin this time of contrast. But so there never has been a time in human history where the glory of God has covered the earth as the waters cover the sea. No, the Garden of Eden was a promise. It was a microcosm. It was a little hint of what the whole earth is going to be during the 1,000 years. That's what we're coming into. That's why all bets are off. That's why any trauma you see on the earth today, whether an earthquake or a flood or a hurricane, now it has meaning. Now it's not just a weather phenomenon. Now it is announcing Christ. It is the beginning of birth pangs. It is the beginning of a woman in labor. It is the beginning of Israel bringing her sons into the kingdom. It is the beginning of the earth just travailing and contracting to produce a regenerated earth where the curse of Eden will be removed and the plants will flourish and it will be an Edenic time. Not relegated to a small tract of land along the Tigris and Euphrates River, but the entire earth will be covered with the knowledge of the glory of God, as now the waters cover the sea, and unfortunately, parts of Southeast Texas.